Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Houston standing by, over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Hello, Houston. He's Joe. I'm Jeremy. We're Jeremy and Joe. Brian's around. Lots to get to today. Really not a whole lot to get to today. We're just going to do it a lot. Houston Texans have a new football player, Keelan Rutledge, the pick at not 28. Willing Dillon, son of a gun. He's always willing and Dillon, even if he's not on the right end of the trade. We'll talk about Keelan Rutledge almost immediately. But we'll also get to the Rockets, Lakers. They're back in action tonight. Game 3, critical series. Brado?
I think it's Brado.
Best Rocket content creator that exists. We're going to talk to him at 4 o'clock. Todd Callis, TV voice of the Houston Astros. We'll talk to him at 4:30. Maybe we'll sneak in a mailbag Monday on a Friday. We'll see how it goes. But first and foremost, the Houston Texans have an offensive lineman. They have selected an offensive lineman. Keelan Rutledge, the newest Houston Texan. They move up a couple of spots, swap some third rounders, move down 22 spots in the third, throw in a late fifth for good measure. What do you think of the Houston Texans' activity on day one of the NFL draft?
I mean, it feels like it was necessary to do it, to make that trade up.
Really?
I assume there had to be some reason behind it. And maybe Nick Caserio was just hearing what was going to happen after that, because I think every pick besides 2 was traded after 25.
Yeah.
There were so many trades happening at once. So I don't know if Rutledge was the guy that people were targeting. Maybe they thought San Francisco at 27.
See, I saw a tweet that San Francisco was looking to trade out of the first round before the Texans made their pick.
Yeah.
But the draft was so compressed and so fast.
It was.
Jordan Schultz was like 5 picks ahead of the draft.
Yep.
That I really don't know the timeline. So, like, did San Francisco trade out of their pick because the Texans drafted who they wanted, potentially? But if the tweet timelines work out, San Francisco was already looking to move the 27th pick before the Texans even traded up.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to know. It's hard to know exactly the real timeline, because the speed of the draft behind the scenes is obviously a lot quicker than what they broadcast.
Yes, and now even then, like, we saw a team get burned because they were on the phone telling someone he was getting picked, and well, that didn't happen because the Steelers didn't get Mekhi Levin.
Yeah, it's weird.
But I like the idea of the pick. Going out, getting an offensive lineman who, when you hear anything talked about this guy, it's mean,
yeah,
tough.
Mm-hmm.
Todd McShay called him a prick.
I like pricks.
I'm like, I like that with my offensive line. So the reviews are good. I mean, you read anything, it's good run blocker. I was watching some of the highlights from yesterday from this last season, and there's guys on the ground all the time with whoever he's blocking. Like, he's just putting people in the dirt. So I didn't think they were going to go guard, but maybe it's a center. So I like this pick.
Yeah.
It's hard to know.
Like, we probably said the same thing we're going to say about Keelan Rutledge today, about Kenyon Green. He's a great run blocker. He's a son of a gun. He puts guys in the dirt.
Get out there, dude.
He puts guys in the dirt, that College Station dirt. Like, we have our best guesses on the outcome of the player. They're educated guesses, their hypothesis on how we think a player is going to perform. I watched a little bit of Georgia Tech football this year because they were pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Haynes King was running all over people. Their running game was really good, which bodes well to, like, hey, Keelan Rutledge, he was part of that running attack. And some people even say, like, they kind of changed their offensive philosophy because of Rutledge. Okay, that's kind of cool. That's kind of nice. I like what I read about him. I like the little bit that I've seen of him. I like what he has to say. All of those things are words, though. Like, we have have to actually see it. We hope that it's a good pick. I had somebody in my comments today saying, I think they just drafted Mike Munchak. Okay.
Based on what?
Come on. Like what do you mean? Like, are you watching every snap the guy has ever taken, or are you just such a Houston Texan fan that you really want him to be Mike Munchak? Because you're not going to sit here and like bash the player today. Like, unless you were Ty Simpson in L.A. or you're Caleb Banks in Minnesota. Is anybody bashing their player today?
Not really.
No, it's like, oh, this guy's great. This guy's our next future Hall of Famer, because you want it so badly. Like, you want him to be good so badly that you're going to be talking positivity about the player, which is great. Like, hey, that's part of being a fan. And people are excited because they have a new player and all of that. And I'm not trying to besmirch Keelan Rutledge here, because I like what I've seen. I like what I've heard. I like what I've read. But we're all making educated guesses here. Now, if he's only a guard, that's not ideal, right? Like, you want a guy that you draft in the first round to be able, in my opinion, to start day one. Now, if he plays center, it totally changes that viewpoint, at least from a value standpoint, right? Like, who cares if he plays guard center in his rookie year if he's a really good player 2027 and on? Let's say Wyatt Teller's a bridge, he's a rental, and then you move on from him, and then Rutledge is your future left guard for the next 10 years, and he's great. Okay, long-term, great pick, even if he is a guard. Now, him as a rookie, I really hope that he plays center. I hope that he is part of the starting five, because I don't want a guy that you not only draft late first round, but you trade up a couple of spots and overpay slightly on any metric that you look at, and he doesn't play in year one. So I would like to pick more if he plays center in his rookie year than I would if he's just not a center, which they're saying they're going to give it a shot, right? Like, he hasn't played center in college. He played right guard at Georgia Tech, but thinks he's capable of doing it. He tried to do it at the Senior Bowl. And, like, I mean, they're doing one-on-ones, right? Maybe he got into the Senior Bowl and played a little bit of snaps at the center position. I like the pick. I like it more if he's going to be your starting center.
Yeah, I like the idea of it, right? Because I think to your point, too, of everyone's saying they like their like the picks that their teams make. None of us are really like overly qualified to be breaking down an offensive lineman and what makes a guy good and not.
I outsource my offensive line takes, but then I'll watch the guy. Like, I haven't watched a whole lot of him one on one. I watched some of the highlights I saw on the internet, but the highlights are the highlights. Like, didn't see anybody post lowlights.
They don't post
like
those.
Stressins and blessings. Love the guy to death. Like, you know, this is my issue with aggregators and content creators. They're always super positive. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't see any lowlights from them. You know, so you're not getting the real pro and con of the
player. Well, yeah, because then they would have to actually go and find the lowlights and post them themselves. But, like, I like the idea of the pick. I like the guard / center. I'm with you, though. I do think center is important here. Because if it's a guard, what's his path to playing this year? It's injury.
Yeah, sorry.
Or someone's hurt.
And that's the same thing.
Or sorry, someone's bad. Like, and like, if Teller's bad, then that's a questionable offseason signing for Nick Caserio. Yeah. I'm surprised that there's so much positivity around this draft pick just because of Nick Caserio's hit rate with offensive linemen. I thought that when I saw the pick come across the board that the general consensus was going to be a little bit more negative of like, oh, great, it's another guy that Nick Caserio drafted that he can't evaluate. This is going to be another bust for Nick Caserio. So it's generally more positive today than honestly I thought it was going to be.
I have seen some of that.
And I think that's fair.
Yeah, for sure. The pushback that I would have, just to like have the sake of the conversation, just to have the pushback, like, is Nick Caserio trending up on his offensive line of eval, though? Like, he found his, you know, franchise left tackle. Some are saying that he could be the Houston Texans version of Trent Williams in the second round last year. So, like, did they have a changing of philosophy on how they view offensive linemen to where it's like, okay, yeah, your Blake Fisher's no good, your Juice Scruggs no good, your Kenyon Green's no good, but then maybe they figured something out. Oh, Ariante Ursary in the second round looking like a pretty good draft pick. Depending on what Rutledge is going to look like, it's going to determine that. But if he hits on a 26 pick and then a second round pick in back-to-back seasons, wouldn't it be like, hey, things are trending upwards for Nick Caserio and his ability to evaluate offensive linemen?
It definitely would be. It would check off a major concern that people have about Nick Caserio if he goes out here and he hits this pick. And it's not like Kenyon Green has gone elsewhere and stayed on a roster, which I guess that's more of a detriment to Nick Caserio. But it's not like they're going elsewhere and developing better. You also have to just trust Cole Popovich here. That, you know, this is why he was just made the full-time offensive line coach. Because if you do read some of the scouting reports about these two guys between Rutledge and Kenyon Green, they're not totally dissimilar in terms of the highlights of what they do, of being great in the run game and not being great in the passing game. So it feels similar in that way. But you would hope now you have a better coaching staff in place, a better offensive line overall that can help, you know, Rutledge develop into a good pass blocker and really take that step in his game.
Yeah, yeah. The getting the coaching there is obviously would be good. His nickname's Big Red.
Great.
I do like the nickname.
I love it.
Yeah, Big Red. Do you like the soda pop, Big Red? You ever had it? You've never had Big Red?
I don't.
Wow. Some people put it in their barbecue. There's a pretty popular place in Houston. I can't remember the barbecue place name. I want to say Blood Bros Barbecue, but I might be confusing it for somebody else. They cook their burnt ends with Big Red.
Is this like, is it like Code Red from Mountain Dew?
No, this is Big Red. You've never heard of Big Red?
No.
That's unbelievable to me.
What kind of
soda? How long have you been in Texas?
11 years.
11 years and you've never seen Big Red soda?
I'm sure I've seen it, but I'm a Coke guy.
It's like a novelty drink. It's not, look, it's that. You've never seen that in the stores?
Big I'm Red? Sure I have.
You've never had Big Red?
No.
Oh. Somebody's going to have to deliver us some Big Red. That way you can get your... I might go buy one at the C store on the way home.
I was like, she would send Michael.
You've never had a Big Red?
Can I ask Michael to go to the gas station?
Sure. He's not an intern.
I'll pay for it. I'll buy him something.
Yeah. You've never had a Big Red?
No.
That's shocking to me. It's kind of like a bubblegum flavored drink.
See, I don't know if I'm going to like that.
I think you would love it. Who doesn't like a Big Red?
I don't know. I've never
Everybody likes Big Red.
Does the text line agree with the Big Red take?
Who does it? You're in Texas. Big Red's synonymous with Texas.
I didn't know that.
People cook their barbecue with Big Red sometimes.
No one told me that.
I can't believe you've never heard of Big Red.
I think it's more of an indictment about the people I've worked with that no one's educated me on this before.
Big Red's so popular, they've even branched out and they have a Big Blue.
Do they really?
Yes. No, I'm lying. Yes, they have a Big Blue.
What's Big Blue taste like?
The same thing. It's just different food dye.
Okay.
RFK Jr. probably not a huge fan of Big Red and Big Blue because of the artificial dyes.
Probably not.
Probably not a huge fan. Here's what Nick Caserio, he had to say. They met with the media after the first round of the draft last night. Here was Nick Caserio on what he likes about Big Red.
I mean, the things that stand out about him, I mean, toughness, violence, physicality, playing style, his intelligence. I mean, basically, a guy wants to step on your throat in every play.
Mm.
So, which I would say is sort of embodies what our football team is about, the way we play. Intense, violent, physical. Like, we're going to run the football this year. You know, it was an area that we felt like we wanted to and needed to improve here in the offseason. Hopefully, we've done that. And I would say Big Red is hopefully, you know, a part of that. Like, where is he going to play? Like, who the hell knows? I mean, we'll figure out, like, who the best five guys are. And, you know, put the group out there that we think is going to help us the most.
There you go.
Who the hell knows?
He's going to step on people's throats. I love violence when it comes to football. You know that about me.
Especially offensive linemen.
This is a physical game, Joe.
It is.
Professional football is a tackle football game.
Can confirm.
You're bringing guys to the ground. Mm-hmm. That's the epitome of ending a play from the defensive side of things. If you're on the offensive side of things, you're trying to avoid being taken to the ground by other people who are trying to bring you to the ground. It is a violent physical sport. So you know what I like from my football players? Violent physical players.
Okay.
There's a 100 collisions every single game that a player has to sustain on the gridiron. Mm-hmm. I don't want a little baby who shies away from contact. I want a dude that just wants to put guys in the dirt, step on their throat, be a prick, be nasty, be mean. So these are some of the things that we've heard about Big Red that I'm a fan of Big Red about. He also had buffalo wings at his little draft party yesterday.
I'm a
huge buffalo wing guy. I have buffalo wings at every – I tried. I didn't have it last night. But I've had buffalo wings so many times on draft night. So he's kind of like – he speaks my love language.
Sure.
Big Red. So, yeah, that's what Nick Caserio – here's another one from Caserio. He doesn't say they fell in love, but you can pretty much hear him say they fell in love with the guy.
The makeup on this guy is, like, elite. Like, a couple of the metrics that we have in our – when we grade players, I mean, in, like, four or five categories, like, there's one player in a draft that our scouts graded the way that they did, and it was him.
There you go. Elite. He's the only one that graded out the way they wanted players to be graded out.
All right. That's big praise.
Big praise for Big Red.
I'm guessing, I'm wondering if that means all offensive linemen or just guards slash centers?
I took it the entire draft.
It does kind of come off that way, too.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure there are certain positions they were not really, certain guys they were not looking at going at the very top. Why waste your time, honestly? Like, obviously, you're not looking at quarterbacks. You're probably not looking at Jeremiah Love or Carnell Tate and some of these guys at the top, but you're kind of putting your stamp on it there, not just taking him, but saying that your entire scouting department thought so highly of him as one of the best guys in the draft that if this doesn't go well, people are going to go back to that quote a lot.
They love the guy.
They do love him.
You can tell that they fell in love with Big Red, Keelan Rutledge. What's not to love? What's not to love about Keelan Rutledge?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. We'll listen to some Nick Caserio. They made a call to Keelan Rutledge last night. Cal McNair, of course, was on the phone with Keelan Rutledge last night. That's my favorite thing about the draft. Some of you might be like, oh, starting center. Oh, they're helping their team win. No, I'm here for Cal McNair calling the draft prospects.
Yeah.
That's what I'm here for. So we're going to hear Cal have his very first words for Keelan Rutledge a little bit later. We'll hear what the people are saying about Keelan Rutledge, some prominent football people with football opinions on a football player. I'll get to that a little bit later, and then we'll take a look at the NFL draft in totality. Who won the first round, who lost the first round, who jumped out, how dominant the Big 12 was in the players selected between the first 10 picks. Big 12, by the way, Joe, had the second most players picked in the top 10 last night.
Nice.
Big 10 won, Big 12 second, SEC third.
Mm.
It actually might have been tied for third because they didn't have a lot of dudes picked in the top 10.
And really, it's you can go Ohio State.
I know.
And then the Big 12, and then the Big 10, I'm guessing, or then the SEC. I don't know.
You could. Ohio State had a lot of players.
How many were taken in the top 10 from not Ohio State in the Big 10?
Would have been six, right, because they had four guys taken in the top 10?
I think so. Is that what it was?
I think so. Yeah.
Like, there's so many. Ohio State had so many players.
Which was actually, I had a draft take during that, or a college football take during it. Like, did Ryan Day, did he underachieve last year?
Sure.
Right? You have four top 10 dudes?
Totally fair.
And underachieved.
Julian Sain was at one point. People were talking Heisman for him,
right?
At one point this season,
is that a disappointment? Disappointing season.
Oh, they beat Michigan, so they don't really care.
No, they care. They care. Lots to get to today. We'll talk to Brodeau at 4. We'll talk to Todd Callis at 4:30. A lot of draft stuff too. Day 2 of the draft you can listen to right here at ESPN 975. Once Joe George and Sean Mapes get out of the way with Rocket Power coming up at the top. All right. Stereo, Cal McNair, phone call to Rutledge. Also, what we think of the trade, too. Let's break down the trade. We've talked about the player. Let's talk about the trade. 713-780-3776, Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, 97.9 HD2.
1976, D&M Leasing opened their doors with one mission, making a vehicle easier, smarter, and more affordable than buying it the old-fashioned way. 50 years later, that mission has not changed, but the reason that people come to D&M has only grown. If you're tired of negative equity, tired of wasting weekends at dealerships, and tired of paying too much for too little, give D&M a call at 713-290-1000 or visit dmautoleasing.com. You'll work with a salesperson who's been there for 10-plus years on average and knows how to save you money, design that lease around your life, and just teach you everything you need to know about leasing a vehicle. If it's the first time you've ever done it, the mileage and all the questions you may have, they'll be able to answer. You'll get that new lease vehicle within 24 to 72 hours when you start the process and get approved. And they'll even bring it right to you, take your trade-in vehicle as well. Call them right now, 713-290-1000, or visit dmautoleasing.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Well, I caught my wife with another man, and it cost me 99. On a prison farm in Georgia, close to the Florida line. Well, I've been here for 2 long years. I finally made the warden my friend. And so he sentenced me to a life of ease, taking care of old Red.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
This is Keelan Rutledge's theme song.
Sounds great. Can you walk? Can you run out to this?
Yeah. This is it.
That's how they introduce him.
Keelan Rutledge. You got this in the background. Old Red.
I'm down.
But all these years, the best part that I've been hearing, nobody got past Red. And don't you want that from an offensive lineman? You don't want to get past Red.
That's true.
This is so symbolic. This is his song. It's Keelan Rutledge's song. Sorry. That's what it's going to be.
Is this why they call him Big Red?
Well, I think it's because he's ginger. That's why they call him Big Red. But they should call him Big Red for this. You're getting roasted on the text line. How have you not heard of Big Red? Like, I can understand not drinking it because it's literally just corn syrup and red food coloring, but never heard of it? I still drink it, though, Eric the Buyer. Do yourselves a favor and try Big Peach. It'll change your life. I think that's what Rabel was doing. Big Red is more of a cream soda taste. My bad. It is more cream soda-y than bubblegum-y. My bad. They even have a Big Red Zero now, so now I can still drink it as a diabetic. Look at you flexing. I can still drink Big Red. Hope that diabetes works out for you. If you're feeling froggy, get Joe a Big Blue. No, I'm not feeling froggy. I'm feeling warm.
No, we're just getting Big Reds.
Somebody says it's terrible. No Big Red? My goodness. It's liquid candy.
I got uncultured.
Big Red is trash. Don't sleep on Dr. Red, mix Dr. Pepper and Big Red, 75% Big Red. Are you making that yourself? I've never seen that. Have you seen that, Brian?
No, I've never seen that.
Yeah.
Honestly, I've never been a fan of Big Red, but
what?
I'll do it for the bit. I've never been a fan of Big Red? I tried it, but I don't like cream soda. That's the problem.
Oh, I like cream soda.
Yeah, I don't like cream soda.
Uncultured, ha ha ha. Big Blue's better than Big Red. Big Red plus barbecue is elite. True ball knower. Thank you. It's just a nice contrast of flavors. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. What'd you think of the trade?
It's fine. They didn't give up that much. I'm not overly concerned about what they gave up.
I think it's a premium price. But if he's a premium player, I don't mind paying the premium price. The Will Anderson trade kind of changed my opinion on things. I'll openly admit. People are, you're not open-minded. You're not willing to change. Yeah, I am. There is a such thing as a premium price. Mm-hmm. But if the player becomes premium, who cares that you paid a premium price? And Nick Caserio is willing to pay premium prices, quite frankly, on everything. Mm-hmm. Like, he pays players top of position contracts every single time he extends players. Like, could he nickel and dime to shave off a couple of million on Will Anderson, on Jalen Petrie, on Derek Stingley? Could he maybe not trade that extra fifth in this trade with the Bills? Maybe. But Nick Caserio's belief is, if we really like the player, why are we going to sit here and nickel and dime over a million or two? Over a fifth rounder, late in the fifth round. Like, what's the point of doing that whenever it could cost us the trade? I'm willing to pay the premium price for the premium player. And if the player becomes premium, so be it. So I'm cool with paying premium pricing as long as the player becomes premium. And I think premium pricing is probably a little bit too big of a word for this specific trade. Texans traded pick 28, pick 69, pick 167. They got back 26 and 91. So you move up two spots in the first. You trade down 22 spots in the third. And I don't really care about a late fifth rounder. So that pick 167, you could turn it sideways and stick it straight up your Rudy Pooh candy behind. I don't love trading 22 spots in the third round, though, especially when I thought that the honey hole of this draft was somewhere between 40 and 60.
Sure.
Now you flip 69 for 70 for 91. I do think it is a premium. I don't know if Rutledge would have been there at 28, though. Nick Caserio obviously felt that it was risky to do that. I think if it were me, and again, I'm not as smart as Nick Caserio, I think I would have rolled the dice to see if you'd have been there at 28. I don't love the trade, but if Rutledge hits, I don't care about the trade.
I think it kind of depends on whatever their evaluation of, like, what Lomu was, maybe. Because he's still on the board there at 28, if they were thinking.
I don't know if they were going to go tackle, though. I think they were going to go interior. So maybe it's more like Pregnon or the Bionotis from A&M.
And those were probably guys who are more, well, now second-round picks, for sure.
Yeah.
So if you weren't that high on them, you thought it was too early, then you definitely move up and take it. Like, is it a premium? Yes. If the player hits, I don't care. Like, it just does not matter. And you still have a third-round pick, so you're still able to go out there and execute that well, which Nick Caserio has done a good job in the third round before. So even though they move back, like, I don't think it's the end of the world. So, yes, it feels like a lot to move up two spots, but you go out, you get your guy, and now, in theory, you have a center or guard of the future on the roster. I'll take that all day over, crossing your fingers and hoping the Niners or someone doesn't take him in front of you.
Yeah, I think I would have rolled the dice and gotten risky there. Like I would have gambled.
It's hard to know how much intel. I've always wanted to know like how much the intel they actually have.
They might have more information than we do. That's a good call.
But just like how do you know? Like, you know, I sent you guys the clip last night from the Titans fan that accuses Mike Vrabel and Diana Rossini of the reason that the Texans have CJ Stroud. So like, but like, I don't know, you know, how do they even determine what's a smoke screen? Like, what are they hearing out of San Francisco? That's, you know, they really like Rutledge, but do you believe it? Like, how many sources does D'Amico still have in that building, you know, to find out? So you're taking a calculated risk.
Yeah.
Assuming that someone's trying to trade up in front of you to get them. So it's hard to know for me to like say like it's a bad trade without having more knowledge about it. I think
that's a fair point. Like we don't know the intel that they have, the intel that we have, which is none. Right? Mm-hmm. I would have rolled the dice. I would have rolled the dice to see him there at 28. Plus, I also could have lived with a couple of these other offensive linemen. I could have lived with what was there at 28. Maybe Caserio felt there wasn't, you know? Maybe there was the top tier of his board. Rutledge was the last player in the top tier of his board. And Caserio talks about this, how they break it down into tiers. Like, you know, they're willing to go up in a draft to get a player from a certain tier, even if it costs them a little bit in the back end. So maybe that was what was going on here. Here was Caserio on the trade yesterday, why he did it.
You know, I think moving two spots, it was just more of semantics and more than positioning, more than anything else. You know, it felt like there potentially could be, you know, some interest in the player. So we felt like, all right, we'll just move a couple spots, essentially give up a fifth-round pick. This is essentially what the difference is when you actually do the math.
Yeah, when you actually do the math, guys. I know you guys aren't doing the math, but I did the math.
I'm not doing the math.
The charts, you know, these gray charts that are out there. Sure. I saw a Texans cap tweet these, but the Jerry Johnson one that's always popular. This one, I don't even know what it is, but he has the, you know, it shows the trade calculator. This breaks it down into dollars gained, basically, based on the APY. The Bills gained 508 points in this trade. The Texans surrendered. This can't be right. Oh, the Bills gained 508 points. The Texans surrendered over 2,500 points. The Bills surrendered 2,000 points. The Texans surrendered $20.5 million in estimated APY. The Bills surrendered $16.5 million in estimated APY. So this has the Bills gaining 508 points and $4 million in cash. The pick value gain that they receive is 136. So what does that put it down? Is like a mid-fourth-ish?
Yep.
So the Texans basically gave up a mid-fourth by trading up two spots, which, okay. Like,
yeah, that's not, when you put it that way, that's not fun.
Yeah, not nuts. Again, is it worth the roll of the dice? I'm a little bit of a gambler. I would have rolled the dice for keeping the surplus of a 4.5-round draft pick.
Yeah, we just know that's not how Nick Caserio operates.
No. It's not a negative either. It's just like it's a different flavor. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he is. I'm making moves.
Yeah, he's not going to roll the dice on that sort of thing.
I wonder what the total
he's
number
go get his guy
of draft trades he's made now is.
So the Jimmy Johnson trade chart, the Bills received 930 points, the Texans 836 points, which is a difference of 94, which their excess, they had as an early fourth, late third. The Hill trade chart had it as a mid-fourth. The Stewart had it as an early fifth. Over the Cat, Pro Football Focus, and the Baldwin model had them as fourth rounders, OTC, late fourth, mid-fourth, and the last two. So somewhere in that window. As high as a late third, the old-fashioned Jimmy Johnson trade charts, and then if you go to the Stewart trade charts, early fifth. So there's your window of pick. The Texans squandered, if you want to use that word. That's a little negative word, though, in this trade.
I
would have rolled the dice. I would have gambled, Joe.
Yeah. So if he doesn't play right away, does that make you, when you look into the future of your takes, does that make you feel differently if he's not out there pretty early in the season? Like if he's not a day one starter?
It's more of the value of it. I don't think it would change my mind of the opinion of the player yet.
Yeah.
Like I'm a believer in allowing the rookie to have their rookie contract. So if he doesn't play in year one but then becomes your bona fide future left guard years two and into the future, like you hit on the player. So I think I would, you know, give him grace there. Like I'm not banging on the trade up. I don't want to make it sound that way. And I do like the player. Personally, I would have just rolled the dice. Just rolled the dice. Let's see if he's there at 28. And then if somebody snipes you, okay, there's other players that I personally liked that would have been there at 28.
And there was plenty of room to trade back, as we saw. Because the 49ers traded back and traded back.
The Bills did it three times. So cool.
It just they kept moving last night.
They were
I bet you Nick Cassera was jealous.
Probably. He's do a lot today, though. I hope that he'll do a lot of willing and dealing today. All right, 713-780-ESP. It's going to be tough for him to keep his on clouds down with how much willing and dealing he's going to be doing. All right, let's hear from Nick Cassera, Cal McNair, their phone call to Rutledge, D'Amico as well. He was involved in this.
A little party.
And then let's hear from Rutledge. Rutledge had some words as well, and also a cool story about Rutledge that I didn't realize. 713-780-ESPN, Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
ESPN 97.5. I assumed you knew.
I'm freezing outside. I feel my skin tight. My coat is inside. But I look up at you. I check your pain right. But when you're in tonight, tell me when is the next time I'll run into you. It sounds insane, right? I'll take the same fight. Wait at your bedside.
It's Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Joe had at Egypt. Go get us some big reds. She was fast.
Yeah.
She's very quick.
One second.
Yeah. Did not expect her back that quickly. But we were bashing Joe because he's never had a big red before.
We're solving the problem.
Texans drafted big red last night. Keelan Rutledge, Houston Texans, pick at number 26, traded up and selected him. And
I'm great, man.
What was that? You say a cuss word there?
I'm great, man.
Oh, yeah. That's Rutledge.
Is it really?
Yeah, we'll play it in totality here in a second. But we
get after it, dude. Let's put some dudes in the dirt, man.
We were bashing Joe for never having a big red. So Israel texting in saying, "Reach Shepard's mom." Come on, Israel. So now let's give it a shot, Joe.
All right.
Let's give it a shot. Let's see what you think of Big Red. This is Joe George's first ever sip of Keelan Rutledge. Tell us how Keelan Rutledge tastes.
Stop!
Joe.
I don't want this to like.
Some parents never see their child try things for the first time. We get to be here for this moment in Joe George's life.
Yeah, it's just artificial, you know, dyes and corn syrup and
how does he
great,
taste?
Greatness. You don't like it?
No.
What is wrong with you? That's excellent. Give us your review. It'll probably look different in a year.
For a cream soda drink, it's not bad. I don't really like it.
It tastes so good. I haven't had one of these in probably 3 years. This is I might just go buy a 12-pack. Go buy a 12-pack of Keelan Rutledge's.
It's okay. I might drink the whole thing.
Isn't that refreshing?
Brian,
great,
do you like
summer
it?
Drink.
It's better than I remembered it being, but I still don't like it.
You guys are casual.
It's okay.
No, I tried it, and it's I knew delicious. Of it.
Let's listen to Cassera. Cassera calls Rutledge. Rutledge gets a little potty mouth, and then Cal McNair comes in at the very end and offers his elegance and his 2 cents.
Big Red.
What's up, man?
Nick Cassera with the Texans. How we doing?
I'm great, man.
We wanted to hear. Congratulate. So we're going to trade up from 28 to 26 here with Buffalo. We're going to pick you and make you a Texan. So congratulations.
Hell yeah. Let's do it, man.
So
let's do it,
look,
dude. Let's do it, man.
Your mental toughness, your physical toughness, your playing style is everything that this program is about.
Let's do it, man. Let's do it. Let's
Lucky
do it.
Enough, we traded up to come get you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I appreciate y'all.
Come down here and go to work.
We traded up to come get you. Lucky enough, we traded up to come get you. Lucky enough.
Is Cal acting like he's breaking news to Keelan at this point? Hey,
lucky
we traded
enough.
Up to come get you.
We're so lucky to have you. Lucky, we were lucky.
You have a little party over there?
I love Cal so much.
It's so funny because, like, he didn't do a top 30 visit, right?
No,
he didn't.
So Cassera talks about that. It might be on one thing that we play.
But, so now I'm just like, this guy's never met Cal before.
Oh, yeah.
So this is the guy I work for now.
You think Cal's around for the top 30 visits, though?
No, there's a small chance.
I think they actually might be tight. Keelan and Cal, I think they get along.
No,
Grillin'.
It sounds like they will.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but
that's
just like saying. That. But that first time you talk to him, like that's the voice you hear. It's got to be a little startling.
This is the guy that is the owner of our organization.
Yeah,
like, that's my dude.
Like, what did he say?
I can relate to this billionaire.
Lucky enough, we were able to come up and get you.
Here was D'Amico Ryans, his call with Keelan Rutledge.
Hey, Keelan. Coach Ryan's here, man. What's up? Hey, fired up to get you here, man.
Heck yeah, Coach. Let's do it, man. Let's get after it, dude. Let's put some dudes in the dirt, man. Let's go.
I love to hear, man. Let's put some dudes in the dirt. You're talking my language, baby. Come here, bring that attitude. You're going to fit right in what we do, man.
There you go.
Fit right when
put dudes in the dirt.
Put dudes in the dirt.
The phone conversations with the prospects always crack me up. They're always like, you know, because Ty Simpson did one where he was like, let's make history, coach.
Sean McVay was so impressed.
What do you mean, make history? Like, what do you mean? Like, everything you do is going to make history, first off. Like, hey, it's history that we went and got some big reds.
We're history makers.
It's history we played Ole Red in the second segment rejoin.
Never happened before.
It's all in the history books.
Yeah.
It's like, one, what does that actually mean? Two, we think it means, like, success and, like, go do good things. The Rams recently won a Super Bowl. Like, these phone conversations always crack me up. Like, let's go make history. Okay, yeah, we'll do that. We'll make history together. We'll see what kind of history.
But see, I like Keelan's. Like,
Keelan's dropping F-bombs to his general manager.
Yeah.
I'm great, man.
He's a prick.
I like that.
He's a prick.
We're going to put dudes in the dirt, dropping F-bombs. Like, that's...
Hey, let's get after it, dude. Let's put some dudes in the dirt, man.
Love it.
He just... His first conversation with the head coach. First conversation with the GM. He didn't... They didn't have meetings with him.
I think
they didn't because they were trying to hide their interest.
Which is interesting. Like, I don't know if this is a new draft strategy.
Yeah.
Between that and then what we saw with the Jets with not doing the top 30 with David Bailey and, like, publicly canceling it, but then taking him anyways. But, like... If that's the first time D'Amico's talking to him, then he's going to be very happy with his pick.
Yep.
Like, that's exactly what he wants to hear.
Yep. The Jets thing, though, compared to the Texans, kind of feels apples and oranges. Cause, like,
a little bit.
With the Jets, like, they were the second pick. Like, there was no one to fool.
There was no jockey.
There was no one to fool.
And Mendoza was an obvious number one.
There was no one to trick.
That was almost like a try-hard thing. I agree with you on that. It's pointless for the Jets. It makes sense for a team drafting 28 to do it.
Oh, yeah. No, you got to mislead people there.
Yeah, I don't really know. That was very weird. I'm with Brian on that one because I found that funny too. Like, unless they just changed their mind.
Maybe they did, which I guess with all what we've seen from Aaron Glenn over the last year and a half, maybe shouldn't be that surprising.
Yeah, it's the Jets. It might be like the owner's kid might have been like, hey, David Bailey's really good in the college football video game. We got to take him.
Yeah.
They've done stuff like that before.
It wouldn't be the first.
Yeah.
I like that D'Amico in that clip getting back to Rutledge dropped a baby on him. Like, he seems excited.
Hey, baby.
Yeah, he dropped a baby on him.
Well, it's like you said, you're speaking my language. You're talking about dropping dudes in the dirt first time we meet. Yeah, that's my language. That's my love language. That's D'Amico's love language.
D'Amico's in on this guy.
D'Amico's love language is swarm.
Yeah, and running the ball.
And running the football.
Yeah.
Here was D'Amico Ryans in the draft room. This was posted by the Houston Texans social media team. This was him talking to, like, the GMs, assistant GMs, and all that.
These type of dudes, you know. Yep. Everything we talk about, getting tough on offense, this is exactly what it is. So, man, appreciate you guys. That's a lot goes into it, man. That's awesome pick for us right here.
Sounded emotional.
Awesome pick.
Sounded emotional, even. Like, it sounds like he was tearing up a little bit. You had Keelan Rutledge saying we're going to drop bodies into the dirt. And D'Amico teared up a little.
Let's get after it, dude. Let's put some dudes in the dirt, man.
He did. Yeah. He fell in love.
He's just like, this is my
awesome
kind of guy.
Pick. Yeah.
You guys did a great job. We're going to do what we want now.
This was love at first pancake, is what this was with D'Amico and Keelan Rutledge.
Well done.
Here was Keelan Rutledge. He was talking. I guess he had media availability last night, too. Keelan Rutledge on what he brings to the table.
I think that's just a blessing. I mean, it's just who I want to be as a football player, right? You want to be tough. You want to be relentless. You want to punch somebody in the face up front. You want to set the tone. And I think that's what I do. That's what I'm going to bring every day, day in and day out. I'm going to control what I can control. And that's how hard I play, how I finish, how I strain, how detailed I am. So I think, you know, that comes with toughness, how you push through things when stuff don't feel right, how you push the teammates beside you. So I think that's what I bring to Houston, and I'm just so excited to get down there and get to work.
There you go. Saying all the right things.
He's checking the boxes.
Saying the right things. Now, I'm an action over words guy.
Yeah.
You talk is cheap, but I will say this. All of the film on him at Georgia Tech.
Yeah, it matches what he's saying.
Matches what he is saying.
Yeah.
So I will say that. Another one from Rutledge on where he's most confident on the offensive line, because there is some questions on where he will play.
You're most comfortable at right guard because that's what I've played. Kind of as a freshman, started there and just stuck there through all the years. But right side to left side, obviously, is adjustment when you do that, but it's just reps. And then center, man, I'm so comfortable with it because Coach Key always told me, like, hey, you're going to have to play all three at the next level. You never know where they're going to put you at. So I was kind of the emergency guy senior year and then obviously going to Senior Bowl, taking snaps there, taking reps there, 100% confident that I can do that, point the mic, have everybody on the same page. It's just reps. Just reps. The more you put into it, the more you're going to get out of it. So that's all I'm trying to do. I can play all three.
Nick Caserio said, who knows where he'll play. He did get some – he had his hand on the ball at the Senior Bowl. I like the pick a lot more if he's your starting center, needless to say.
Yeah, I totally agree because I don't see how he's going to play if he's a guard.
He won't.
Like, unless Teller's washed.
Yeah, or he's washed.
But that's also bad.
Have you seen Teller's wife on TikTok?
Nope.
She's all over the place on TikTok.
What's she posting? She's
like, hey, we're in Houston. Hey, we're going to eat. Hey, we're going to shop. She's like an influencer. I didn't realize that.
I didn't realize that either. I'm not big into the TikTok space for that.
Yeah, you'll come around.
That's not what I'm looking at TikTok
for. You're not hit. What are you looking at TikTok for?
Like bad television
just
shows?
Just not creeping on player wives on TikTok.
It that's just popped up. My algorithm's not players wives. My algorithm's Houston Texans.
You've been outed.
That's not my algo. My algo's Houston Texans.
I mean, it shows you what you want to see.
I mean, I know all about, what's her name? Alex Earl.
That's true.
There we go.
That might be why it's...
But it's Texans related.
Yeah.
I really wasn't familiar with Alex Earl's game until the Texans brought in Braxton Berrios. And I never heard of this lady until the Texans signed Wyatt Teller.
Your algorithm is just heavy Texans. And it just expands.
It's probably Texans in drama, quite frankly.
Sure.
Because I'll get some Bravo stuff on there.
That makes sense.
I'll get some Watch What's Happening Live on there.
Yeah.
What is Jesse Solomon saying about his best friend, Wes Miller's, love flink?
I do not know this man.
I talk about him all the time, Brian.
No, it was the first name.
Pay attention.
I heard the Will West name
What
before.
Will Jesse Solomon do?
Yeah, I never heard of that guy.
Kalen Rutledge, one more. His message to the H.
What's up, H-Town? It's Kalen Rutledge. I'm excited to get up there and get to work for the 25th season. Let's go.
There you go.
Can't wait.
Throw up the H. Him and Cal are going to be best friends, man.
Oh, man. They're going to be flipping some burgers.
They're going to love it.
Yeah. Maybe making some steaks this year. Out there for
maybe Cal made some of these picks. Wyatt Teller also seems like a good old boy. You see, like the photo, he's got like a huge catfish over his shoulder.
He had the cowboy boots as soon as he signed with the Texans.
Maybe Cal's getting more involved in the front office.
We need to represent
some guys I could grill with.
Yeah,
What did he do with it?
The catfish?
Yeah,
I assume he ate it.
I meant like, how did he catch it?
Oh, I don't know. I just saw the picture of him holding it over his shoulder.
Interesting. It sounds pretty cool. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Let's talk about the rest of the draft. The other ones in the NFL, what we liked about it, what we didn't like about it. 713-780-3776, Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2. You looking to escape the rat race for the weekend? Hustle and bustle the job, traffic, whatever's causing you stress? I have the best idea for you. Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. Escape the city, enjoy the relaxing great outdoors. Book your stay right now. TwoCreeksCrossingResort.com. You're going to love your time out there. They got open green spaces. They got wildlife, beautiful, majestic trees. Enjoy the arboreal beauty. That is Two Creeks Crossing Resort. Also, some of the best fishing in Texas. Maybe Teller's going to go out there, catch some fish. Drop your line in the Two Creeks. They got the catch and release pond in the middle of the property. You're going to love your time there. It's only an hour and a half from Houston, too. You can escape the city without going too far at Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. Hike their 92 acres of property. Do some kayaking. Play some pickleball. Go over to Swampers and have a drink. Go to the pool and have a drink. Or Blue Bayou Bend opening May 1st. The official grand opening on May 9th. The water park coming out to Two Creeks Crossing Resort. It's going to be awesome. Awesome. Second week of May, grand opening for Blue Bayou Bend. You're going to love your time out there. It is phenomenal. Also, the annual chili cook-off going on the first weekend. Live music at all times. Memorial Day weekend coming up in May as well. You're going to enjoy yourself. They got every stay you want, too. You have an RV? Well, build up the RV. They have RV hookup spots. They have glamping for you. Waterfront cabins right on the creek. The tree house out there, too. You walk up the steps. You stay in the house. It's perched right in the tree. Book your stay now. TwoCreeksCrossingResort.com. That's TwoCreeksCrossingResort.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I was a ghost. I was alone.
forget. Given the throne, I didn't know how to believe I was the queen that I'm meant to be.
Now back to the Huntington Bank Studios with Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
We'll get into the NFL draft a little bit later. A lot of texts coming in for the junkies, and we like to talk to the junkies. They're our friends. A couple of junkies saying that Tennessee tried to trade up for Rutledge, according to reports.
Aaron Wilson reported that.
So it's 90% of the time it's right half the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Branham, I wonder what would have been your backup plan if you roll the dice on Big Red and he's gone at 28. Well, see, my big board probably a lot differently than their big board, obviously, but I like defensive tackle, so I wouldn't have hated a defensive tackle pick. Had nothing to do with my plus 205 that I had on the Texans drafting a defensive lineman first, which, by the way, your boy won 11 units last night betting on the NFL draft. Don't say we don't do anything for you. If you were betting $1 million a unit and you told me yesterday, you'd be an 11 millionaire.
Wow.
Think about that.
An 11 millionaire.
Think about how much money we can make you if you're an 11 millionaire.
There we go. Jeremy Branham's right.
Thank you. Lomu, not really, because I don't think they were looking for tackle. But like, I wouldn't have been disappointed with Peter Woods. I wouldn't have been disappointed with Omar Cooper. Wouldn't have been disappointed with Keldrick Falk. There's players that are still on the board that I'm in love with Jacob Rodriguez. I really am. Like, it seems early to take him at 28, especially since he didn't go in the first round yesterday. But he would have been in the mix for me there. Caden McDonald's a guy I love. He could be in the mix for me there. I don't know how they feel about Pregnone or Bissonnetus. So, like, that's kind of guessing. But, you know, if you're desperate for an interior offensive lineman, maybe they're in the mix there. So, there are several names. Several names. Christian Miller is a guy that I kind of like.
I think they're going to be able to get one of them.
They still could. So my guess on what happens tonight, though, is I think they're going to trade down immediately to try to recoup some of the draft picks they gave up. That's my guess.
Yeah,
I think they trade down.
Yeah, I'm curious as where the draft kind of what the run is right away. Like, is it defensive tackle?
Because they have the sixth pick tonight.
Yeah, is it corner?
See,
like, I just don't know. Like,
right away, no, I don't think they'll be corner. If they stick at 38, I don't think they're picking corner.
No, I meant for like in front of them.
Oh, gotcha.
What's the run in front of the Texans that causes people to trade up? Because it doesn't feel like it's offensive line. I mean, this was everyone that got projected to go in the first round last night went plus Rutledge.
Let's talk out about 38. Would you hate safety at 38?
Emmanuel McNeil Warren?
Yeah.
I think it's a little strange. I think I'd rather go corner of the two.
I'd rather go back spots. Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't know if I really disagree. I don't know if I like the corners, though.
I mean, there's a guy who's been, like, in the top 15, hasn't he? Like, mocked? McCoy?
Yeah, I don't know, but mock drafts or mock drafts?
Well, he's got foot problems, right? Or ACL?
Would you hate receiver?
No.
Like, if they love Denzel Boston, do you hate him at 38?
I have no problem with wide receiver at 38.
Boston doesn't really make a whole lot of sense for them, though, because I don't know if he's a slot guy. I think they would need to be drafting a slot guy. How about defensive end? Like, Zion Young. Would you hate Zion Young?
No.
I heard John Harris comp Zion Young to Matthew Judon, who has New England ties. Like, so that would be kind of interesting. Defensive tackle. I would love defensive tackle. Like, if Caden McDonald's there at 38. Okay,
I think
cool.
Defensive tackle makes more sense for me than defensive end. So I think defensive tackle, wide receiver, and linebacker, if Jacob Rodriguez is there.
We eliminate interior offensive linemen?
I think so.
But can you eliminate Bissonnetus and Pregnan?
Yeah.
Okay.
That would shock me.
I mean, if Rutledge is a center.
Yeah, but he hasn't done it yet, so for me it's hard to.
I think it's more likely, too, that they would draft center third, fourth, than they would draft guard second round.
Yeah, or with that pick that's in the 50s. Like, Sam Hecht is going to be there.
If they drafted Jacob Rodriguez at 38, I wouldn't hate that.
No, I like Jacob Rodriguez.
I wouldn't hate that. So there's a few players that I like there at 38 to where I don't want them to trade down. I'd be happy with Caden McDonald. Let's just eliminate safety and corner. I'd be happy with Caden McDonald. I'd be happy with Zion Young. I would be happy with Jacob Rodriguez. So there's three dudes there.
Trade on Stoops is one that I know we said.
Miller, too.
We said eliminate that, but because he's safety and corner, it feels like. Depending on where you've looked at him, they've said he's a corner. Some people say he's a safety. So if you brought in someone in the defensive backfield that had some more flexibility for you, I do like that. But I would add Denzel Boston still to me.
See, I don't think he fits their personnel.
What about Jeremy Bernard?
It feels a little early.
I'm looking at Matt Miller's mock draft. He's got him at 43.
They pick 38. Also, I think that he has Bernard maybe higher than anybody else.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel like that's a little early. Also, I'm not sure that I love him as much as some guys you could get. Like, I like him, but what if Chris Bell, you can get him with your last pick of the second round?
No, you're right. There's
injury
guys on
concerns there, but sure. You're not really pressing him to play and return to action that quickly. So there was guys there that I would have been happy with at 28 had I rolled the dice.
What about Stowers?
Eh.
Because I think he's, I feel like he's going to go in between you.
Probably.
So it's like if you want him, you either got to just take him when you can or trade back if you're going to go tight end.
So the four guys that I mentioned, though, there, like if McDonald is there, okay, he's an option. If Young is there, okay, he's an option. If Jacob Rodriguez is there, okay, he's an option. If Christian Miller's there, okay, he's an option. And maybe I glossed over like another one or two. But to me, if all those guys are off the board, that's when you trade down. If any of them are on the board, I want them to stick and pick.
Yeah, that makes sense. I would add, like, if they're looking at edge of guys I'd be okay with, T.J. Parker.
Yeah.
Out of Clemson. We're like,
I thought he was going to go in the first.
I thought so, too. Like, do I think it makes a ton of sense to take an edge in the second round? No, but they'll figure out a way to use them. If they take an edge, I'm just going to trust them. They're going to find a way to get them on the field.
They use a lot of defensive linemen.
Yeah, they do a lot of rotation. I know Anderson and Hunter are out there a lot, but they'll rotate him in. So he's another one for me that I would add in tonight.
Mm-hmm.
That'd okay. be okay with that first.
Yeah, pick. So like those guys are on the board. Okay, stick and pick. If they're not, then that's when I want them to entertain trade the trade back. Down thing.
Yeah.
Space City Kev, we all leave poor Cal alone. The man just wants to be loved. Clearly, we love him more than anybody else.
Over there.
We love. I mean, we highlight Cal. We magnify Cal. We mm-hmm. put him on a pedestal. We call him the man of the marriage. We
that's
call him
a great
the cash.
Point.
He's worth $4.5 billion. Like, we think higher of Cal McNair than anybody else in the city. So miss me with that. Junkie says Rutledge is my new favorite player.
Junkie?
It's history that Branham is the first show host in the history of radio to host through mommy's wrist. Meanwhile, MLB athletes got a boo-boo and they are out for weeks. That's true. I'm a dog.
Great point.
I've had mommy's wrist for 9 months, and I have not labored. I haven't griped about it once. Haven't even brought
I'm
it up,
dog.
Really. I haven't even talked about it. Let's talk about the awkward handshakes and hugs with Goodell. Can't stand it. Refuse to watch draft because of it. That's interesting. They are weird and awkward. To not watch the draft because of it feels a little bit weird. It
feels extreme.
It feels a little extreme. Yeah. Did you notice the one yesterday where he came out and he was like dancing to the song? It felt a little Trumpy. It felt a little bit like he was like dancing to the song.
Well, what's
playing.
The song Trump danced to? Is it Village People?
I think it was, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a Village People song.
Goodell came out and was like doing the whole dance. Yeah, I was like, okay.
The little Trump shuffle.
He's doing
shuffle.
Like the Trump dance. Like, I was like, come on, Goodell. Junkie, you think Ryan's likes the way Big Red tastes? Jasper, who doesn't like the way Big Red tastes? Big Red's
great, man.
Phenomenal. We're drinking it right now. Joe's downed it.
It's already gone.
Junkie calls me a creeper. Another junkie calls me a creeper. Not reading that text. Nice try. It's called noodling. I didn't know that he was noodling, though. That's why I was asking Brian, how did he catch the fish?
Yeah, I mean, he could have caught the catfish noodling, but he could have just caught
right.
it.
So we don't
way.
Know. That's why I asked. I thought you knew. They just leveled the match. You got to be joking me.
That's tough.
Our sweats of the day. We're on Real Madrid. We were on Real Madrid money line.
Real Madrid?
Real Madrid. I'm shook right now, Brian. We were on Real Madrid over Real Jerome Bettis, and Real Jerome Bettis just leveled 3.5 minutes into stoppage time.
Oof.
That's so stupid.
That's so brutal.
We were also on Sunderland to win outright. Also Sunderland and Nottingham Forest to draw because there was value on both sides of it. Nottingham Forest won 4-0. We did get the over, though. We're about to be 1-3 on soccer bets.
Mm. Let's not tell Glenn about this.
Nottingham Forest won 5-0 over Sunderland. 5-0. Our bet today was Nottingham Forest not to win.
They won 5-0.
Not only did they win.
It smoked them.
They rubbed your face in
that's
it.
That's the equivalent of a 56-0 football score.
Yep.
They unbelievable.
They put your bet in the dirt.
This score on the
let's get out there, dude. Let's put some dudes in the dirt, man.
Look at this goal. Duke, clear the ball. You know what he screwed up there? He cleared it into the top of the box. He just cleared it through the byline. Give him another corner, defend the corner. That was stupid, dude. Real Madrid's back line is tragically bad. Tragically bad. Cannot believe they allowed
you're a disaster.
713-780-ESPN. Brodeau, I've never talked to Brodeau in my life, and now he gets to hear fired up Branham because Real Jerome Bettis equalized in the final minute of stoppage. But we'll get Brodeau's thought. Best Rockets aggregator that there is. Best content creator for the Rockets that there is. We're going to talk to him next with the series coming back to Houston with the Rockets trailing 2-0. It's Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, 97.9 HD2.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.